Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarking@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the second line from the bottom of Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis at the Mishnah. This Mishnah is introduced by our topic heading and also an indication that this discussion will continue till Daf Mem Amid Aleph, Birkas Kohanim. The Mishnah opens with Birkas Kohanim Ketzad. Bear in mind that we are continuing that which was cited in the first long Mishnah of our Perek, that there are things that are restricted to being recited in Hebrew, as opposed to other items that were listed in the Mishnah as well that could be said in any language. Birkas Kohanim is one of those topics, the priestly blessing, that must be recited in Hebrew. The Mishnah continues, B'medina oimer oiso sholosh brachos. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's recited in three separate phrases, if you will, three separate psukim that actually make up the Birkas Kohanim. And after each phrase, or after each posuk is recited, so the assembled will respond with Amen, with an affirmation. This is in contrast to the Beis HaMikdash, Uva Mikdash Brocha Achas. In the Beis HaMikdash, where there is no Amen that is recited, and without the Amen, so there's no real means of, we'll say, breaking the priestly blessing into three separate sections, so it's recited as one Brocha, one blessing. The Mikdash Oimer Es Hashem. We continue at the top of Daf Lamed Ches Kiksovo. In the Beis HaMikdash, when it comes to reciting the name of the Almighty, it's said as it is written. This is a topic that you find from time to time references to the pronunciation of the Almighty's name, and here we're going to just restrict ourselves to the translation of the Mishnah as saying Kiksovo means as is written. The name sometimes referred to as the Tetragrammaton, say four letters, a Yud followed by a He, and that you can see Rashi makes reference to that, and there are two more letters, Vav and a He, which cannot be pronounced literally outside the Beis HaMikdash. It's considered a serious offense to pronounce that name. In fact, there are Christian sects that have a very similar sounding name, and they pronounce it, whether or not, since that's pronounced with a J and it's not actually a Yud sound, whether that would constitute an offense or not, that's something that you have to check out in halachic literature. But whatever the case is, we never pronounce that name. Literally, we use the term Adnus instead. In the Beis HaMikdash, however, it appears that it was said as it is written. Uva Medina, the Mishnah continues, outside the Beis HaMikdash, when it comes to mentioning the Almighty's name, so it's Bekinuyov. Bekinuyov or Kinuyo in its accepted pronunciation, common pronunciation, as opposed to the formal, literal pronunciation. And that's a reference to what we just mentioned before. We refer to that as the Adnus pronunciation. The Mishnah goes on, B'medina kaihanim noisim es yedem keneged kisvehen. outside the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohanim raise their arms as part of the Brocha requirements. So the arms are raised to a level equaling their shoulders. So they would raise their arms, their elbows, to be at the same height as their shoulders. Uvamikdosh al gabi roshehen. In the Beis HaMikdosh, the Kohanim would raise their hands high up, over their heads. The Rashi says, Uvamikdosh lemala mirshon, on the third line from the top, Rashi says, Mepneishim mevorchen mesa'on b'shem ha'meforosh. Since they're using the ineffable name of the Almighty in the Beis HaMikdosh, that warrants their raising their hands so heavenward. Ushchino lemala mikishri etzboseim. The divine presence is above their finger joints. We continue in the Mishnah after having mentioned that in the Beis HaMikdash the Kohanim raise their hands high up over their heads, chutz mikohen gadol. With the exception of the Kohen Gadol, when he would participate in the priestly blessing, she'eno magbias yodav lamalo min hatzitz. He will not raise his hands higher than the tzitz, is a golden headband that the Kohen Gadol wore, which had the name of God etched, imprinted on it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Kohen Gadol Magbil Yodov Lamalo Min Hatzitz. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that the Kohen Gadol would raise his hands even above the tzitz, even though it has the name of God on it. Shenemar, the posik Vayiso Aaron es Yodov el Ha'om Vayivorchem. And Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol, raised his hands and blessed the people. As we look at this Omer Gemara, I highly recommend doing a bird's eye view, scanning the entire Omer till the bottom. What do you tend to notice? You probably notice a number of diamonds and double underlines, and the topic heading on the side of the Gemara slash the Nosei slash Mivneh, the structural note, you can see a diamond is featured. Sidra Shel Brisos, we're going to see a series of Tanaic sources, Hador Shois Koisivarchu, that uses, we'll say, their launching points, the Pasuk that starts the passage in the Torah referring to the priestly blessing, Koisivarchu as B'nai Yisrael. And each source has in it a particular halacha. And that, you can see, is highlighted with the double underline. So that either you can skim quickly in the Gemara text itself, which is a favorite activity of mine, taking full advantage of the markings, and see what points are going to be learned from in each brisa. Alternatively, we've provided a synopsis on the side, where you see halachas shenilmedu, one, the Loshon HaKodesh, that it must be in Hebrew, two, ba'amida, while standing, b'nesias kapayim, through raising of the arms. Kapayim is a reference often to hands, the raising of the hands and hands and arms. Number four, b'shem hamaforosh, in the Beis HaMikdash, the ineffable name is used in the Beis HaMikdash. Number five, ponim keneged ponim, where the Kohanim turn towards the congregation, and the congregation remains facing front, facing the Kohanim. So they're face to face. In doing so, in a standard synagogue setup, the Aron HaKodesh that houses the Holy Ark, that houses the Sefer Torah in a shul, in a synagogue, is positioned frontmost of a shul. So in effect, the Kohanim are turning their backs on the Aron Kodesh, on the Torah scrolls, and facing the congregation. And the sixth halacha that will be highlighted is b'koil rom, in an audible or loud voice. Now the Gemara, Tonu Rabbanan Ko Sivarchu b'loshon haKodesh. They are to bless using Hebrew, meaning only in Hebrew. Are you saying in Hebrew or maybe possibly in any language? The Gemara answers, Ne'emar kan koi sevarchu, v'ne'emar lahalon. It says here, by the Kaihanim, their priestly blessing, the term koi sevarchu, and it says, in the context of Har Grizim, the blessings and curses that we've been discussing in our last few shiurim, it says, Elu yamdu levorech es ha'om. So you have the reference to a brocha there as well. Ma lahalon b'loshon ha'kodesh. Just like over there by Har Grizim, it is in Loshon HaKodesh, and that's presented here as a given. That was learned through a Gezeirah Shava itself, using the word koil from Moshe Rabbeinu at Matan Torah, and Matan Torah is given as being done so in Hebrew. So the giving of Torah was in Hebrew, or I should say the receipt of the Torah was by Moshe Rabbeinu telling it to the Jewish people in Hebrew, and Har Grizim is learned from that Gezeirah Shava, and now we're using Har Grizim as a basis for the Birkas Kohanim in Hebrew. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzorech, you don't need to rely on that Gezeirah Shava. Harehu Omer Koi. The Pasuk, you can see, uses the word Ko, which means Ad Sheyomru B'Loshon Hazeh. The word Ko means thusly, as it is, in this language, meaning the way it appears in the Torah, in Hebrew. Tanya Idoch, Koi Sevarchu Be'amida. Ata Omer Be'amida O Eino Elo Afilu B'Yeshiva. The blessing is to be done while standing, or maybe even while seated. Ne'emar kan koi sevarchu, v'ne'emar lahalon, and by Har Grizim, you have the pasuk saying, Elu, Ele ya'amdu levorech. And the word ya'amdu there appears explicitly, together with brocha. Ma lahalon ba'amida, just like there by Har Grizim, the brocha was while standing. Af kan, so too, here in Birkas Kohanim, Brocha is be'amida, is while standing. So that's through a Gezeirah Shava of Brocha, Brocha. Rabbi Nelson Omer Eino Tzorech. You don't need to rely on that Gezeirah Shava for concluding the requirement of standing. Harehu Omer, the Pasuk says, L'shor soy ulevorech b'shmo. So Rabbi Nelson's approach, as we indicate, doesn't use a Gezeirah Shava, but he cites a Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Yud, Pasuk Ches. Let's read again in the Gemara, Rabbi Nosson Omer Eino Tzorech, Harehu Omer L'Shor Soy, Ulevorech B'Shmo. The Pasuk is reads in its entirety, Bo'es Hahi, Hivdil Hashem Es Shevet HaLevi, Loseis Es Aroin Bris Hashem. The Pasuk describes the tribe of Levi being assigned the role of carrying the holy ark, la amoid lifnei Hashem l'shorso l'vorech b'shmoi ad hayom hazeh. So in this pasuk we see l'shorso l'vorech b'shmo, and Rabbi Nosson points out ma mishores b'amida, just like a service is while standing. Af mevorech ba'amida, so to blessing, being that they are compared in this pasuk. Umeshores gufei minolon, service itself, how do you know it is while standing? We're making an assumption, according to Reb Nosson, that brocha is while standing because meshores is standing. But how do you know meshores itself? There's another posuk in Dvorim, Perek Yud Ches Posuk Hei, which is in the topic of the role of Kohanim, and it says in the Torah, it says there, La'amoid L'shores. More in its entirety, it says, Kivo Vochar Hashem Elokecha Mikol Shvotecha La'amoid L'shores. That's a reference to the Kohanim being chosen to be the ones from amongst all the tribes to stand and serve. So, as far as Rabbi Nosson is concerned, you learn from the appearance of the word brocha together with sheirus, and sheirus is known to be while standing. Tanya idach, Koi Savarchu Benesius Kapayim, with raised arms. Ata Oimer Benesius Kapayim O Eno Elo Shelo Benesius Kapayim. You're saying it's with raised arms, or maybe possibly even without raised arms. Nemar Kan Koi Savarchu Venemar Lahalon Vayiso Aaron Es Yodov El Ha'om Vayvarchim. So in the Pasuk by Birkas Kohanim, you see the word Tavarchu, and with regard to Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol, he raised his arms to bless the people. Ma lahalon b'nesius kapayim, afkan b'nesius kapayim. Just like with Aaron, it says explicitly, Vayisa, that means to raise his arms, as Yodov, so too, wherever the priestly blessing takes place, it's with raised arms. Kashya lei le Rabbi Yonason. Rabbi Yonason had difficulty with this approach, learning from Aaron. Ima lahalon kohen gadol v'rosh chodesh avodas tzibur. If you're going to cite the pasuk from Vayikra Perek Tes that we read, Vayisa Aaron, well, there are other elements. It's first of all, it's the high priest. It was on Rosh Chodesh, and it was during public service. Avodat Tzibur, reference to offering public sacrifices. That's when, and under those circumstances, you have the raising of the arms. So are you going to therefore say Afkan? So too, the law of raising arms has to be, it's going to be then limited Kohen Gadol, the Rosh Chodesh, on the beginning of a month, and Avodat Tzibur, while involved in a public offering. Rabbi Nosson Omer, because of this objection that Rabbi Yonason stated, so Rabbi Nosson says, Eino tzorech harehu omer hu uvonov kol hayomim. That once again, that's a reference to the pasuk that we referred to earlier in Vayikra, that is Devorim Perek Yudches pasuk hey. Let's read it again. The pasuk says, "Ki vov ochar Hashem elokecha mikol shvatecha lamud lishoris b'shem Hashem, hu uvanov kol hayomim." That's explained here by Rabbi Nosson as saying, "Makish bonov lo." The descendants of Aaron, meaning all other Kohanim, are compared to him. Mahu b'nesius kapayim, just like his brocha was with raised arms. Af bonov b'nesius kapayim. So to descendant Kohanim, even if they're not high priests, are blessing with raised arms. Uksiv kol hayomim. And it says in that pasuk, all days, meaning not just Rosh Chodesh and during public service, the iskish brocha l'sherus. And we find that brocha is compared to sherus. And we take a look at the Rashi further up on the page. The iskish brocha l'sherus klomar, the afagav de bahai kroi. Even though in this pasuk, lav brocha ksiva elosherus. It said in the pasuk that we read, lamod l'shares. Doesn't say anything about a brocha. Nevertheless, Rashi quotes the pasuk here. All it says is sherus lamod l'shares b'shem Hashem who avon of kol yomim. Nevertheless, iskush brocha v'sherus b'krochrinu k'namrinon liel l'shor soy ulavorech b'shmo. The brocha is, however, compared to sherus in Dvarim Perek Yud pasuk Ches. So it's a reasonable conclusion that Nesius Kapayim can be derived from Aaron HaKohen, but you have these other scriptural elements that Reb Nosson says you must take into consideration, and you come out with raised arms for all Birkas Kohanim, regardless of when it takes place and under what circumstances. V'tanya idoch koi sivorchu es b'nei Yisrael b'shem hamaforosh. Atom or b'shem haforosh, it's with the ineffable name Oyeno Ela b'kinui, or it could be done even with any alternative name. Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says v'samoy es shmi. That pasuk is found in Bamidbar Perek Vav, which deals with the Birkas Kohanim itself. You'll find that in pasuk Chof Zayin. where it says V'somo es shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avorachem. And what does shmi mean? My name, shmi hamiyuchadli, my special name. Yochol af begvulin kein, is this to be understood even outside the Beis HaMikdash? The term gvulin is a term referring to all areas outside the Beis HaMikdash. Well, not so. Ne'emar kan v'somu es shmi v'ne'emar alon, and it says in Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, losum es shmoi shom. Ma lahalon Beis HaBechir, just like there, you have a reference to the placing of God's name, but that's in the chosen place, namely in the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaBechir literally is the chosen home. It's only in the Beis HaMikdash. Afkan, so too with regard to the blessing in the ineffable name of God, that's Beveis HaBechir, only in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yoshua Oimer, Eino Tzorech. Rabbi Yoshua says you don't need to come on to that proof. Harehu Omer b'chom hamokoyim asher azkir es shmi avoy eilecha. Now this pasuk is we'll say out of order for our purposes, and hence the Gemara asks b'chol mokom salka daitoch. The pasuk is saying that wherever you are, I enable my name to be mentioned, so I will come and bless you. Rashi elaborates here, b'chol mokom salkodeta v'chi b'chol mokom shem hamiyuchad nizkar. Could it be that the ineffable name is recited anywhere? Hoksiv, it says in the Torah, in Sefer Shmos, ze shmi v'ze zichri. And we learn from that pasuk, Zezechri Lolom Vezechri Lador Vador, that pasuk in Shmos Perek Gimel tells us, Lo Kishani Nichtav Ani Nikra. Not the way my name appears in writing is the way I am referred to. We spoke about this earlier. The pronunciation of God's name in the non phonetic way. We use the adnus expression and not the name as it appears with its four letters. So the Torah itself says that you're not going to refer to God's speak God's name in the literal, in the phonetic fashion. Is it so that could you think that the divine presence dwells wherever? And he didn't, would you think that he didn't specify a place for his name to be mentioned? With all that in mind, so you cannot leave the pasuk as it is. The pasuk that we read, B'chol Mokoim Asher Azkir Eshmi Avoi Lecha. The Gemara continues, Ela Mikra Zem Mesuras Hu. This pasuk is, for understanding purposes, is out of order. And rather, how should it be understood? B'chol mokom asher avo eilecho v'rachticha, in any place that I assign for blessing, shom azkir es shemi, there I will enable my name to be pronounced as it's written. V'hechon avo eilecho v'rachticha, and where is that place? Where is that place that I will come and bless you? Beveis HaBechira, in the chosen house, but namely in the Beis HaMikdash. Shom Azkir Es Shemi, Beveis HaBechira. There, Azkir Shemi, I will enable my name to be pronounced as it is. The Rashi says, Mesuras Hu, Mehupach. As we mentioned, the pasuk is out of order for our understanding purposes. Rather, b'chol mokoyim asher avo eilecha ba'oil moyed sheba midbar b'shilo b'veisalamim. Wherever I come to you, where does the Almighty come with His divine presence? Where is it His divine presence, say, concentrated? In these places, in the Mishkan, Midbar, the traveling Mishkan, in Shiloh, where the Mishkan stood for 369 years, Beis Salamim, in the Batei Mikdash that were built in the time of Shlomo and after the return from the Babylonian exile. Those are specific places where Asher Avo Eilecha, where I come unto you. So where Hashem comes unto us with His divine presence, namely in the Beis HaMikdash, there Azkir Es Shemi, there I enable my name to be pronounced as it is, but not outside. Tanyo Idoch. Koisavorchu es b'nei Yisrael. Ein li elo b'nei Yisrael. From reading the Pasuk, it would seem that only Jews are included in the priestly blessing. Geirim noshim v'avodim mishuchorim minayin. How do you know to include converts or women? Because if you read the Pasuk literally, B'nai Yisrael would indicate the menfolk of Israel, not B'nos Yisrael. So we're asking, how do you know to include the women? And how do you know to include Avodim Meshuchorim? These are slaves that have been freed. And upon their freedom, they become Jews, full-fledged Jews. How do you know that they are included in this blessing? Talmud Lomar Emor Lohem Lekulhu. It says in the Pasuk of the Birkas Kohanim Emor Lohem. And that's an expression to include all these that were just mentioned. I should read it more accurately. Omor Lohem. Tanyo Idoch Koi Sevorchu Ponim Keneged Ponim. The Kohanim are facing the congregation, who are facing in turn the Kohanim. Atom or ponim keneged ponim, you say it's face to face. O eino elo ponim keneged oirif. Maybe the Kohanim, when they face the congregation can in fact be turned away. In other words, there's no expectation that the congregation has to actually be facing the tzibur, facing the Kohanim. The Rashi, a quarter of the way up from the bottom, he says, O eino elo afilu ponim keneged oref, sheinat tzibur tzrichim lahasev peneihem letzad hakohanim. Maybe, as we said, there's no expectation of the congregation facing the Kohanim. Talmud Lomar, so we answer, there is. Omor lahem. The way the priestly blessing is conveyed is as a person speaks to his friend. How do people speak to one another? Facing each other. Tanyo idoch. Koi sevorchu. Bekoil rom. In an audible or loud voice. Oeno elo belachash. Maybe it can be said even in a whisper. Talmud lomar omor lohem. As people converse with one another, people do not whisper to one another. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a new marking, a bow tie shape. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei slash mivne heading. These are shtei halachas b'noigea lekriyas kohanim. Mifne shemivorchim. The bow tie represents two halachas concerning the summoning of the Kohanim by calling out Kohanim before the actual blessing. Omar Abaye Naktinon. We have a tradition. Lishnayim Kore Kohanim. If there are two Kohanim or more, then they are summoned by the term Kohanim. They're called. The announcement is heard in the synagogue. Kohanim. Velo le'echad eino kore kohen. However, if there is only one kohen present, then there is no formal summoning. Shenemar, the pasuk says omor lohem. No, the word lohem is in the plural. You say unto them the shnayim. That means only if there are two. The omar Rav Chisda naktinon. Rav Chisda has a tradition. Kohen kore kohanim. If the Shliach Tzibur, if the one leading the services is a Kohen himself, then the announcement, the summoning word Kohanim is used. V'ein Yisrael Korei Kohanim. However, if the Shliach Tzibor is a non-Kohen, then he does not summon. Shneamar Omor Lohem, and Rav Chista takes that to mean Amira, the announcement, the summoning. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Mi Shelohem Hutehe. Only if it's one of them, only if the Kohen is the one who is doing the summoning. And namely, only if the Kohen is the Shliach Tzibor. The Gemara rules like Abaye, that only if there are two Kohanim or more, there is a summoning. However, we are not accepting Rav Chisda's ruling, and therefore, even if the one who is leading the prayers is a non-Kohen, still the summoning is done, of course, provided there are two or more Kohanim. In the parentheses, there's a simon, a device for remembering what is going to appear as the Gemara continues. So we have these, we'll say, key words. Misave, lebrocha, duchan, bavoida, kois, makir, nene, ba'agola. All of these, or be'egla, all of these words are key words for maimros, for comments that will be made by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. You can see, if you allow your eye to skim down this page, you'll see numerous triangles. They highlight the name Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The first set of triangles are featured on the side under the Nosei / Mivne heading. A triangle appears, and also a dashed underlining will appear. Sidra shel halachas shel Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi b'nesias kapayim. The dashed underline will be highlighting the word Kohanim or Kohen, indicating or showing that these triangles are halachas or statements that are associated with the kahuna, with the priestly blessing. As you go further down the page, there's another series also using triangles, but of a slightly different nature. As you can see, the colored in tips. These are, again, Maimros, statements of Rishon Levi, but regarding a different topic. We'll repeat this topic heading when we get there. Now, the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Minayin shakodesh baruch hu misave lebirkas kehanim. Here we'll translate it. There's, of course, depth to this statement, but it says, from where do we know that the Almighty is desirous of the priestly blessing? Shneamar, the pasuk says, "V'samu es shemi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avorachem." And Rashi at the top line says, "V'samu es shemi tala hakosuv hadavar bohen lios brochazu simas shmoi al amoi v'lo asa tzorech Yisrael ela tzorech mokom." The pasuk conveys the idea that the placing of God's name on the people, namely in the as a bracha, is dependent on the Kohanim. And it's presented in such a way, as Rashi says, Lo asa tzorech Yisrael, ela tzorech mokom. It's a need, so to speak, whatever that means, it's a need of the Almighty, the Almighty's desire. This concept, this particular maimro has very lofty ideas behind it, something that requires more than just the translation that we're providing. We continue in the Gemara. The Omar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Kohen Shemavorech Misborech. Any Kohen who utters the blessing, himself is blessed. V'sheinu Mevorech, Ein Misborech. If he doesn't utter the blessing, so he is not, in turn, blessed. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Va'avorecho mevorachecho. That Pasuk is in the context of Avraham Avinu, but the point is that if one utters the blessing, he in turn will be blessed. V'omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kol Kohen she'enu oile l'duchan oiver v'shloish aseh. Any Kohen who is present in shul, present in the synagogue when they're summoned, and he does not go up to the platform. The duchan is a reference to the platform. It's a reference to the place that the Kohanim stand when they make the brocha. So a Kohen who doesn't go there when summoned is in violation of three positive commands. And here the Gemara refers to points that you see in the Psukim. Number two, Omor Lohem, and Vesomu Es Shemi. Rav Omar, Chishish Shemo Ben Grusha O Ben Chalutzahu. Rav says a Kohen who doesn't ascend to the platform where they place the priestly blessing takes place falls under suspicion that maybe he's unfit to bless, because even though his father is a Kohen, nevertheless the mother might have been a divorcee or a woman who participated in chalitza, thereby a prohibited marriage for a Kohen, and the child born is therefore not considered a Kohen. And that's why he's not going up. So a Kohen who, let us say, is a real Kohen, by not going up, he's creating an impression that maybe he's unfit. Velo pligi. As far as Rabbi Shimon Levi, who says that he's in violation of three offenses, and Rav, who says that he creates suspicion over his purity, these are not disagreement. These are not two statements in disagreement with one another. Rather, ha de solik lefrokim, ha de lo solik lefrokim. If he goes up from time to time, let's say on holidays, but he doesn't go up on a daily basis. He doesn't pray. He's there, but doesn't ascend the duchan outside of holidays. So a person like that is not going to be suspect of being unfit, disqualified, but he will be in violation, as Rabbi Shimon Levi says, of these three commandments. However, if he never goes up, then even on holidays, if he doesn't go up, he doesn't go up at all. And we know his father was a Kohen. Why is he not going up? So he is then going to fall under suspicion of being a Ben Grusha or a Ben Chalutza, the son of a divorcee or the son of a woman who participated in the chalitza ceremony. V'yomar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol kohen she'enu oyle ba'avoda shuv eno oyle. Avoda is a reference to the bracha of the Shmon Esrei that many will refer to as the bracha of Ritzei. This is the bracha that comes right before the bracha of Hoidoya of Moedim. So any Kohen who doesn't arise to the Duchan, he doesn't walk, he doesn't go toward the place of blessing by the end of, he doesn't move from where he is till the end of Ritzei, so then it's too late for him to decide to go up to the blessing site after the Ritzei bracha has been completed, which ends with the words Hamachzir Shchinoso L'Tzion. The Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines, She'eno Oyle Be'Avoda Koidem She'Yisayim Shel Tzibur Ritzei. If he doesn't go up there to the blessing site before the end of Ritzei, Tzorach that before the end of the bracha, Tzorach Lalos Aladuchan. The basis for this is Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Vayiso Aaron es Yodov el Ha'om Vayivorachim, Vayered me asois achatos ve'oilo ve'hashlomim. The Pasuk makes an association between Aaron and blessing the people, and his descent from doing the sacrifices, from offering the sacrifices. Ma lahalon b'avoda, just like over there, the pasuk with Aaron and his blessing was in the context of avoda, afkan b'avoda. So too, in general, the kohanim must reach the site of blessing during avoda, during the bracha of the Shmon Esrei that's called avoda, the bracha of Ritzei. The reason it's called avoda is a reference to the service in the Beis Hamikdash, and when you look at the translation of that bracha of Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu, you see that bracha is making references to the sacrifices of the Jewish people. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this halacha accurate? V'hol Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, these are two great rabbis who were Kohanim. Salki, well, it seems they went up even after Avoda. In other words, the Shliach Tzibur finished the bracha of Avoda. The Shliach Tzibur was into Moedim Anachnu Lach, he was into the next bracha of the Shmon Esrei, and they had not yet reached the actual point where the bracha is recited. The Gemara says, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Meikora, Havu, Akri, Karayhu. They started their movement, literally they uprooted their feet. They started walking toward the place of the bracha during Avoda, before the Shliach Tzibur finished the bracha of Ritzeh, before he said, Hamachzir Shchino Seletzion, they already started walking. Minta lo havu matu hasam. All that happened with them is they didn't arrive there before the end. Uchidetani Rav Hoshaya, as Rav Hoshaya teaches, lo shonu elo shalo okar esraglov. The halacha of the Kohen, if he doesn't go by during Avoda, he doesn't go anymore, that's it, it's too late. That is true, only if he didn't start his journey toward the front of the shul, toward the place where the Kohanim stand. Avol okar es raglov oila. However, if he literally uprooted his feet, he started walking during Ritzeh, before the end of Ritzeh, he continues even though he doesn't actually arrive at the site for the priestly blessing until Avodah has already been completed. So the main thing is the instruction to the Kohen is start movement toward the site where the bracha will be before the end of Birchas Ritzeh, or the bracha of Avodah. Utna Nami. It's also taught im haftochoso shenoyse es kapo v'chozu filoso. This is a seemingly different point of halacha. We're going to tie it together very soon, though. This is a reference to a shliach tzibur, the one leading the prayers, who himself is a kohen. And it says, and the issue is, does he say the priestly blessing in the middle of his repetition of the Shmona Esrei? So the source tells us that if he has enough confidence that after reciting the brachos, he won't lose himself, lose his composure, lose his place, and he can pick up where he needs to pick up from. In other words, after the recitation of the Birchus Kehanim, he would be expected to continue with the bracha of Sim Shalom, Toivav, Ubracha, etc., with the final bracha of Shmona Esrei. So if he has confidence that he can interrupt his Shmona Esrei, his repetition of the Shmona Esrei as a Shliach Tzibur, and recite the priestly blessing, and then go back to where he needs to pick up from, so he should do the Nesias Kapayim, the raising of the arms, as the part of the bracha of the Birkas Kohanim. Then, as the source says, Rashoi, he's allowed to do so. Vavino Bon, we ask, let's think about this. You have a Shliach Tzibur, he's standing in position for his role as Shliach Tzibur. Ha lo okar, where does the Shliach Tzibur fulfill the concept of walking forward? He's at the podium where the Shliach Tzibur stands, but where do we see his movement forward? You're saying that he can do the Birkas Kohanim, but he's in the middle of standing with his feet together in Shmon Esrei as part of the repetition of the Shmon Esrei. Elo denod purta. What is expected of the Shliach Tzibur is, in fact, he makes a little shuffle movement, a slight movement forward, and that is considered sufficient. That's Akiras Raglayim for Birchas Kohanim purposes. Hachanami, so too with regard to the story with Ravami and Ravasi, de Okar Purta. They started movement. And that's enough. As long as you start movement during Ritzeh, even though you don't actually arrive at the point until after Birchas Ritzeh, it's okay. But if you didn't start moving until after the completion of Birchas Ritzeh, then, as we said before, it's too late. We have a bracketed section, and the note on the side reads, there's a starred note, Achrei Sogreim Gemara Tamshich B'Inyonei Birkas Kohanim. After the bracketed section, the Gemara will resume with matters concerning the priestly blessing. B'socha Sogreim Yesh Oid Meimer Shabushu Ben Levi. Within the bracketed section, there are additional comments made by Rishu Ben Levi. Hapam, this time, Benoisi Tzoranis, with regard to those people that are Tzoran, people that are miserly. If I may allow myself, just off the top of my head, the connection, it's not just a random list of additional statements of Rav Shulam Levi, but rather, since we're talking up till now about the topic of Birkas Kohen, Brocha is a term that is associated with the concept of plentifulness, with bounty, and an attitude, the attribute of benevolence, of giving, of kindness. All of those terms can be associated with the concept of bracha, blessing. The contrast to that would be, in the context of this Gemara, is miserliness. In Hebrew, the term tzorei ayin. People that are not generous, they're not giving, but as we said, they are miserly and self-centered, concerned only with themselves. With that in mind, let's continue with the Gemara in the bracketed section. The Omar Reb Shulam Levi Ein Noisin Kos Shel Brocha Levarech Elo Letovayin. A Kos Shel Brocha is often associated with a cup of wine. Rashi points out here with regard to Birkas HaMazon, even though the concept of Kos Shel Brocha it has a wider application, but here we're referring to the Kos Shel Brocha, a cup of wine that one would hold while reciting the Birkas HaMazon. So Rabbi Shulam Levi says that this practice of giving a cup of wine for the Birkas HaMazon should be done only with a tovayan, with a man who has a kindly eye. Rashi says tovayan sone betza vegomle chesed b'mamona. People who have no tolerance for betza, for thievery, and they are kindly with their possessions, with their property, their money. That's a tovayan. Shenemar, the pasuk says tovayan hu yivurach ki nosan milach moladal. Al Tikri, don't read the Pasuk as Yivurach, will be blessed, but rather Elo Yivorech, he shall do the blessing. And hence, a Tovayan, a benevolent type of individual, he is the one that should lead the Birchas HaMazon, holding the cup of wine. V'Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Minayin Shafilu Oifo Yismakirin Betzorei Ayin. From where do we know that even birds recognize the miserly? And Rashi adds, and they won't eat from the food or the bait that they put out. We'll see in throughout the Gemara, as the Gemara continues, that those who are tzorei ayin are the kind of people that one should actually avoid benefiting from them. It's causing them too much pain to have to give of their own to others. Don't even go to them. Don't benefit from them. And here, as we said, Shulman Levi says, even birds recognize this. Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Ki chinom mizora horeshes be'enei kol bal kanof. And to appreciate this, we look at Rashi. Ki chinom mizora horeshes. Liel Minei, before this Pasuk, this is in Mishle, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, so before that it says, Mishtoi Betzori Ayin, Nerval Adam, Vechule, Kol Hon Yakar Nimsa, Rashi citing the Psukim that indicate that the context of this Pasuk is the miserly. And it says, Ki Chinam Mizura HaReshes, Loshon Yizureh Al Naveu Gofris, Kach Darkum Shot Sayodim, Lizreis Chitim, Usorim Berishtam, the practice of bird hunters is to have nets and spread on the nets grains like wheat and barley, kidei shivo ofos lechol, so that to attract the birds to come and eat, and then they will be entrapped.
Ve'ilu tzorayin, but as far as the miserly, chinam ma'abdin mizonos shezorin v'rishdam be'enei kol ba'al kanof, the miserly, though, are wasting their time in spreading, in scattering their grains in the traps in front of the birds. Shein hei makirin bohen v'ein nenin mi mizonoseihem. Sha'af hein, that's, let me read that again. Sha'af hein makirin bohen, the birds know that these grains are from the miserly, and the birds aren't going to come to eat from them. So even birds recognize the miserly. The Gemara goes on. V'yomar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol hanene mitzorei ho'ayin oiver b'lav. Anyone who benefits from he who is miserly is in violation of a negative command. Shenemar, the pasuk says, al tilcham es lechem ra'ayin. And it goes on to say, the altis of lemata moisov, ki kamo shoar benafsho ken hu achol ushesei yomalach v'libo bal imoch. The pasuk tells us, exhorts us, the public, not to eat the bread and the dainties of the miserly, because internally it's very great strain. He goes through turmoil thinking about that his food will be eaten by others, and though he will tell you, come and eat, come and drink, his heart is not with him. He doesn't really intend to his invite. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Omar Oiver B'Shnei Lavim. Rav Nachman goes further than Rav Shmuel Levi and says that one who benefits from Tzoriyin is actually involved in violation of two negative commands, Al Tilcham, and also the Al Titov. We have written in between the lines these added words from the Pasuk, and the word Al means don't. It's in effect a negative command. So you see twice this appears in the Pasuk. V'yomar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ein Eglo Arufa Bo Ela Bishvil Tzori Ayin. Eglo Arufa is a ceremony, literally the breaking of a calf's neck, when a murder victim is found between two cities. The closer of the two cities goes through this ceremony, which is basically to achieve interim atonement until the actual murderer is found. This process of Eglo Arufa is done, you might say the murder took place, and hence generating the need for Eglo Arufa, all because of miserliness. Shenemar. Now, we'll go on in the Gemara a bit, and then tie it together. See, how does miserliness figure into the case of a murder? The Pasuk says, V'onu v'yomru, the members of the city, the closer of the two cities that supplies the Eglo Arufa and goes through the ceremony, the elders of the city, they come together and say, Yodenu lo shafchu es hadam hazeh, v'einenu lo ra'u. Translated, it means that we didn't do the murder, and our eyes did not see. V'chial libenu also shezikne basin shov chedomim heim. Would it occur to us to even think that they have to announce we didn't do the murder? Would you think that they did? Ela, rather, what's the depth behind this pasuk? Lo bo liyodenu fatranuhu, v'lo roinu v'nachnuhu. The Gemara will explain what was just said. But the elders of the community are announcing this person, the victim, the murder victim, he didn't come to us and we released him and let him go, and we didn't see him and leave him. What does that mean? The Gemara explains, Lo bo liodenu fatrunuhu belo mizonos. We announce that this guy, he didn't come to us and we let him go on the road without any food. Let's take a look at Rashi across from here. Upatrunuhu belo mizonos klomar. The mizonos hutzruch velo hoyolo. Imagine a person comes to town and he needs food. He doesn't have any of his own food, and no one gives him any food. So he goes on the road.
He sees someone with packages of food and he comes to grab them.
Because of his hunger.
And the owner of those food packages, in self-defense, kills this guy.
And that's how you can have a murder victim.
So what are the elders of the community saying?
He didn't come to us and we let him go without any food, that story could take place.
Well, let's continue in the Gemara.
Lo roinu v'nachnu b'lo levoya.
And likewise, he didn't come to us and we let him go without any accompaniment, let him go on his own.
But rather, people who came to our town, anyone who came to our town, and we saw he didn't have any food, we of course would provide him with food, and we would actually accompany him out of town as well.
So what do you see from this?
We see from this that miserliness would actually result in the murder taking place.
As we said, the guy who was left to leave town without them giving him food because of miserliness would have then been forced to attempt a robbery, and that could have resulted in this guy becoming a victim of someone else's self-defense.
Omar Rav Simloi, Beis HaKnesses Shekulo Kanam. Here, as you can see, we finished the bracketed section. So he just say we go back to the topic of the Birkas Kohanim. Beis HaKnesses Shekulam Kohanim Kulon Oilim Leduchan. A shul whose congregation is made up exclusively of Kohanim. All the people praying there are Kohanim.
Well, they all go to the platform. They all go and recite the Birkas Kohanim, the Lamim of Orchim. So who are they blessing?
If you have the Kohanim going up front to bless and other members of the congregation remain where they are, so they are the ones that are being blessed. But in this case where the entire congregation are Kohanim and they're all doing the blessing, who is being blessed?
Amar Rabbi Zera Lachem Shebesados.
Their brethren that are out in the fields.
Rashi says, Shebesados Danisi Bimlachton Veinu Cholam Lovo.
They're out working, it's beyond their power to come to shul, come to pray, when at that hour of the day they're out in the fields working. So, since they're out in the fields working, the blessing that they received is from these kohanim that are leading, that are reciting the bracha, even though, in this particular case, there are no members of the congregation that are left in the shul to receive the bracha. Nevertheless, it's not a wasted bracha. The Achem Shebesados will benefit.
Amy, is this really so?
Oh, Tony, Abo Brei, Durav Minyomen Barchio. Am Shachore Kehanim Einon Bichlal Bracha.
The Am, the people that are behind the Kehanim, are not included in the bracha.
So it seems from this that you have to be present in front of the Kohanim in order to receive the bracha, not people out there in the fields working.
Lo kashya. There is no contradiction, no difficulty here.
Ha danisi, ha da lo anisi.
Anisi means it's beyond their control. The people are employed to work in fields starting from maybe even before dawn, and they're working all day in the fields. They can't come to shul. They're anus. It's beyond their control. So they are included in the priestly blessing. However, someone who is standing in the synagogue, and he's standing behind the Kohanim. And the Kohanim face the congregation to bless them. And these people, the lo anisi, people that are not onus, they could walk in front of the Kohanim, but decide not to. They decide to remain behind the Kohanim. So in a case like that, they're not included in the bracha.
If we look at Rashi together across from here, the lo anisi ha'oim debeis haknesses achorei kohanim,
those people standing in the synagogue behind the kohanim, lo anisi, elo she'ein habrocha chashuvo aleihem la'ako raglei v'lovo lifnei ha'kohanim li'os mizborchim ponim k'neged ponim kadas.
As far as they are concerned, the priestly blessing is not significant enough to move them from where they are to walk to stand in front of the Kohanim in order to receive the Kohanim face to face as the rule demands. Hilchoch Rashi goes on, Einom Bichlal Brocha. Therefore, they're not included in the Brocha. The Brocha is defined as being ponim keneged ponim, face to face. And if these people who are in shul and don't bother walking to a point at which they're in front of the Kohanim, so they're not included in the Brocha. Let's continue in the Gemara with a question. V'hotoni Rav Simi mi birta dishichayri. That's Rav Simi from Birta Dishchus, the name of a place. He has a Tanaic source that he recites, which says, Beis HaKnesses Shekula Kehanim, very similar to the source, to the comment before made by Adon Rav Yisim Lohi. Here you have a Tanaic source, a shul that is all Kehanim. Mitzosan Oilin u'mitzosan Oinin Omein. Well, this is against what Rav Simloi said before. Rav Simloi. Here you see complete congregation of Kohanim. Only some of them go up, and the others answer Omein. Omein affirmation of the bracha. So how do you resolve these two comments? The one above that said Beis HaKnesses Kula Kohanim Kulan Oilin Duchan. And here only Mitzasan Oilin. Lo Kasha. Ha Dishtair Be Asora. Ha Delo Ishtair Be Asora. Literally, if there remain 10, then one thing. And if you won't have 10 remaining, then another. Take a look at the Rashi. We're looking at Rashi that you'll find four lines from the bottom. Ishtair Be Asora. If there remain 10 people in the shul, so mitzasan oylun leduchan vasora oynin omein. So if you had, let's say, a synagogue of 11 kohanim, so one kohen will go forward, and there are 10 that remain as part of the congregation to answer omein. So in that case, mitzasan oylun lo ishtayer be'asora. If you won't have 10 remaining to answer Amen, lo choshiv lebrocha lechudayu. The brocha is not then considered significant enough. Hilkoch kulan oilun mevorchem lachem shebesados. In a case like that, where you don't have 10 people remaining in the shul, certainly if you have a case of 10 altogether, 10 kohanim altogether, in a case like that, then all of the kohanim will go up and say the bracha. In other words, you'd have to have, unless you have a situation of a bracha plus 10 people responding omein, if you don't have that, then all of them will go and say the bracha. And as we said, the bracha will affect the Am Shebesodos. Gufo. Tono Abo Brei Derav Menyumi Barchio. This is what we saw just a few lines above. Abo taught Am Shachure Kayanim Einon Bichlal Brocha. Those people that are behind the Kohanim are not included in the Brocha. And we already explained that that's a reference to people that are in the synagogue and don't bother walking in front of the Kohanim while they are blessing. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei / Mivneh heading. As we look on in the Gemara, you'll notice some double underlines appear. These are She'elois be'inyan mikum hatzibur biyachas lekehanim b'sh'as nesiyas kapayim. Questions that are related to the positioning, the location of the congregation relative to the kehanim during the blessing. So the Gemara observes, Pshita arichi ba'api gutzi lo mafsiki. If you have tall people in the congregation that are standing in front of shorter people, it goes without saying that the shorter people are not blocked from receiving the priestly blessing. Teva lo mafsika. Literally, a teva is a box, but in the context of the shul, it could refer to a
the table on which the Sefer Torah is read. It could possibly refer to the Aron HaKodesh, the holy ark in which the Sifrei Torah are stored. Whatever it is, we'll call it this shul appurtenance is not going to block the blessing. So that if the Kohanim are on one side of this and the Teva happens to be in front of the Kohanim, it doesn't block the blessing from reaching the people that are on the other side of the Teva. Mechitza mai. What about a partition? The Kohanim are on one side of a partition, and they're facing the people that in turn are facing the Kohanim, but there's a partition between them. What effect does that have? Toshma. The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, afilu mechitza shel barzel, eino mafsekes ben Yisrael avim sheba shemayim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that even an iron partition, if you prefer the term iron curtain, even an iron curtain doesn't block the Jewish people from their Father in heaven. In other words, the fact that there's a mechitza doesn't prevent, we'll say, prayers and blessings from penetrating. Ibayolaho, stodin mahu. What about people that are not actually in front of the Kohanim, but are to the side of the Kohanim? Omar Abo Mor Bar Ravashi, Toshma. We try to answer that from the following. Disnan. We're going to bring a source. We're going to cite a source that actually has nothing in actuality to do with Birkas Kohanim, but the connection between the two has to do with positioning and the element of intent. The immediate topic at hand is going to be the Hazoya, the sprinkling of the Pora Aduma water, the ash water mixture that enables purification from defilement to the dead to be achieved. So the source says, Niskaving lahazois lefonov, vihiza lachorov, the sprinkler, the person who would sprinkle these special waters of purification, had intent to sprinkle a forward sprinkling. And there, it ended up that the sprinkling went behind him. And there were vessels that in fact were behind the sprinkler that needed purification. So he intended the sprinkling to go into one direction, and it ended up going in the opposite direction. And likewise, lachorov v'hizo lefonov. Or he intended a backward motion to sprinkle those vessels that were in back of him, and the sprinkling ended up going forward on other vessels that also needed purification. Has also psula, the sprinkling is disqualified, it's ineffective. Rashi says at the top, has also psula, debo inon kavono letar, you require intent for purification. There has to be intent. Let's continue in the source. Maybe just a word again of concerning that which we just said. Since intent is necessary, if you intended to sprinkle, let's say, forward, then obviously that which was behind you was not part of your intent. And likewise, the opposite. If you intended to sprinkle in back and it ended up getting, the sprinkling ended up going on vessels in front of you, but you didn't have any intention for those in front of you. Let's continue with another example. Lefonov v'hizo al tzodin shebefonov. He intended a forward motion, and the sprinkling landed on vessels that were off to the sprinkler's side, off to his side, slightly in front of him. In other words, if you were to state this in terms of angles, they were not literally, let's say, 180 degrees or literally to his side, but rather slightly in front of him. Hazosuk Shera. So the sprinkling is effective. So now we take a look at Rashi. Al Hatzdodin Shebefonav. Tzdodin Sheesh Mimenu Ulahalon. Velo Tzdodin Mimenu Ulachor. So when we say off to the side, a little bit forward, not off to the side, a little bit back of him. For Hochinami, so to hear with regard to the Birkas Kehanim. Oindin Bitzdodin Shekain, Heimenu Ulahalon, Bechlal Brochahain, Tekilifonav Domi. Those people that are off to the Kohen's side, a little bit forward, so they're included in the bracha. Avol shel achar himenu, afal pi she'enon achrei in mamish, kil achar of domi. If the people are behind the Kohanim, even if they're not literally standing directly behind the Kohanim, they're off to the sides, but behind the Kohanim, they're not included in the bracha. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.